Triple, Chapter 1. It's the year 3194. It is a time when a lot of things have changed for human beings. Most of all, there is great danger around them. The world is dying because there is not enough oxygen for everybody. Advancements in technology and various acts of humans have affected most of the living species on Earth. Thousands of animal species have been extinct and thousands more are about to vanish. Agriculture has already stopped all over the world for ages. Finally, the loss of plants and trees has caused the biggest problem of mankind, which is a shortage of oxygen. There are more than 300 billion people living in the world now. The number of the world's population is growing day by day. Technological developments have helped to prevent aging. People who have money are getting older. Only the poor ones die of old age. So the number of people is growing continuously. Scientists are focused on only one thing, finding more oxygen. Rufus Feller, a professor in genetics, is sitting at his desk in his laboratory at the Michigan Genetic Research Center. It is quiet inside the room, except for the sound of the air conditioner. Although it is nearly noon, the light inside the office is dim. The sun is hiding behind some black clouds. The professor is taking deep breaths from time to time. He looks worried. He has got a pen in his right hand and he is playing with it nervously. The pen sometimes falls on the marble floor of the lab, which makes a disturbing sound. The professor picks it up again and continues playing with it. On his forehead are drops of cold sweat. Some of these drops fall onto the wooden table. It is quite obvious that the professor is stressed. His eyes are fixed on the phone in front of him. At 10:15 a.m., the phone rings. With a quick reaction, he takes the receiver and holds it at his ear. More and more drops of sweat appear on his forehead. With an irritated voice, he says, "This is Professor Feller. Who are you?" "There is no need for a name, Professor. I think you have got our note." The professor takes a piece of paper in his hand. It is a note with big letters and it is very clear. "We have got your daughter. Be smart and wait for our call." "I don't believe you."
"Really?
Why are you so nervous then?"
"I'm not nervous. I see it differently on my camera."
The professor looks around in the room. There are bookcases all around him. The shelves of the bookcases are full with books. It is impossible for him to see a camera from his desk. He gets more and more worried. On the desk next to the phone, there is a picture of his daughter. She is smiling happily at him. In her hands, she is holding a flower pot with a miniature tree in it. It was the last bonsai she had held. Nowadays, there aren't any houseplants left.
"I'm not sure if you are telling the truth."
"Then listen to this." He can hear a woman screaming from another room. She is definitely struggling to get free. He recognizes his daughter's voice. They really have kidnapped her. The professor cannot breathe for a moment. Then he takes a deep breath and speaks back to the anonymous caller.
"What do you want?"
"Well, we know about your studies. You will receive a package today. All the information you need is there." The mysterious man hangs up the phone. The professor gets confused and angry. He takes the phone and throws it at one of the bookcases. His hands are shaking and he feels a big pressure on his heart. 2 seconds later, he hears 3 knocks on his door. In a blink of an eye, he gets to his feet and rushes to the door of his lab. He opens it and finds a package on the floor. The professor looks down the corridor, but he cannot see anybody there. Chapter 2. He runs over to the elevator, but it is already 20 floors down. He hits the metal door of the elevator several times and walks back to his lab. The package is still there. His name is on it. He picks it up and goes inside. After some hesitation, he opens it. On the top of the package, he finds a white envelope with his name on it. He opens the envelope and takes a piece of paper out of it. He starts reading the message. To Professor Feller. First of all, we want you to understand the situation. Nobody is doing anything to help the world. Our end is coming. The only way out is to do something very radical. The URC is the only company that is brave enough to change something. You, Professor, will help us changing it for once and forever. We know you and your work very well, Professor. You have worked on changing the DNA of humans for 20 years, and you have been very successful. As we said before, the end of the world is coming. There is not enough oxygen for everybody. You will help us change this. There is a small computer in your package. Study the information on it. Your task is to change human DNA to plant DNA. We want you to change people into trees. There are too many people on the earth now, and they are destroying it. We call this project Treeple. If you don't accept taking part in the project, you will not see your daughter ever again. URC. This must be a joke. A horrible one. These people are insane. The professor puts his glasses on the desk. He knows that he is in big trouble. The URC is a secret company. They are very powerful people, and they do a lot of things. The government calls them terrorists, but they say they are working for justice only. The professor sits down on his chair. He has no choice but to work with these terrorists. They have kidnapped his daughter, and they are serious about killing her. He feels hot and cold at the same time. The blood in his old veins is boiling with stress. Never before has he hurt anybody. It is a terrible idea, but he knows he will do it. He stands up and goes over to the windows. There are 6 windows next to each other in his lab. He opens one and looks down. It is so far down there. His office is on the 72nd floor. Maybe he should end his problem now. He never has thought about death before, but now death is at his door. It is knocking loudly at the lab's door. He can hear the knocks in his mind. Suddenly, his body feels heavier. He gets dizzy and steps back from the window. While he is closing it, he says to himself, "I will do this to save my daughter and the world. I will do it. I have to do it. Yes, I have to do it." He goes back to his desk and takes the computer from the package. It looks like a 10-inch tablet. These tablets were invented in the 2000s. At present, there is no need for hardware. You can write in the air just by thinking about a keyboard and send messages with brainwaves all around the world. Everybody has got a techno chip in his brain. But this has got many disadvantages. If you use your brain power too much, you get older more quickly. So companies, universities, the government, and all other people started using old technology again. The professor likes these old model tablets, and he is very good at using them. Chapter 3. The power button of the tablet is on the screen. With a single touch, he turns it on. He finds the study file on the desktop and starts reading it. There are formulae of older studies and some formulae of new studies. Some of the studies are really impressive. He gets fascinated and gets more and more excited while he is reading it. But there are also a lot of mistakes in the formulae, and most of the studies have not yet been finished. It will be very easy for him to finish this study. There is only one problem. If he finishes the project, he will become a killer. He can't imagine the number of people who will die. Maybe he will also die with these people. He does not know much about URC. What is the full name of their company? Is it maybe Universal Research Company? The URC wants to change humans into trees. How is this going to happen? Humans and plants have got different DNA codes. So the job of Professor Feller is to change the code of the human DNA. He has to change it to plant DNA. Actually, it is an impossible change. But he is the best scientist in DNA research, and his ideas have no limits. He knows his power. He is crazy enough to do anything for science. However, this idea is the craziest he has ever heard. So, what can he do? The professor has got a very simple idea. He wants to create a formula for a special gas. People will breathe in the plant gene, which will be sprayed into the air. Then the gene will get into their lungs and later into their blood. When the gene is in the blood, it will start multiplying very fast. In 5 minutes, it will conquer all the cells, and then the change will start. All the human cells will change to plant cells. This means humans will be transformed into trees. You can make a jungle in 10 minutes with this formula. 10 people make 10 trees. There are more than 300 billion people in the world now. With this gene, they could change millions of people and make them oxygen depots. How many is the UCR planning to change? Who are they planning to change? Are they going to be ordinary people, old people, or young people? What happens if they are planning to use children, even babies? If they use children, can they live on their own? He takes a picture of his daughter from his wallet and looks at it for some time. She is the only person he loves and cares for. He lost his wife years ago. His daughter is his only reason to live and work. If she goes, he cannot live. How can he risk her life? How can he kill people? Tears come into his eyes. His genius mind is so confused. He has to choose first, his daughter or others. There are also other facts in his mind. If he doesn't agree, life on this world will end anyway. Everyday life on Earth comes closer to the end. When he comes to his lab in the mornings, he always checks the status of the world. He looks at political, social, and environmental statistics. He analyzes the birth and death rates every single day. He calculates how many days life has got in this world. This morning, his calculations were for about 12,918 days until the end. This means one thing. If they cannot find enough oxygen, life on Earth will end in about 35 years. Of course, if they are lucky enough. He has a chance to save the world. He will kill millions of people, but he will save life. He takes the computer and goes into his lab. He starts working immediately. The first step is to read, and this is a lot of reading. He seems to take lots of notes, and he has to make lots of calculations. There is so much research on this computer. Maybe he has to combine all of it. It is his hard work. Actually, he loves hard work. This moment, he makes his hardest decision to save his only daughter. He decides to turn off his humanity. He will not think about dying people anymore. He will only think about saving lives. He works for 2 days without sleeping. His eyes get heavier and heavier. Coffee and dark chocolate is all he uses to get energy for work. But he cannot drink any more coffee. His stomach is in a terrible condition. He has to rest, have a shower, and eat something nutritious. However, Fella does not stop. He is sure of something. He is very close to the formula. Without sleeping and eating, he does his calculations again and again. Finally, on the third morning, the professor falls asleep on the floor of his lab. In his trembling right hand, he folds the formula. He has finished it, and he is sure it is going to work. When the professor finally wakes up, he does not know how much time he has slept on the floor. He is exhausted. His eyes are getting worse. Fella goes to his office with the formula written on 10 sheets of paper. There are stains of coffee and chocolate all over the sheets. He does not care. He picks up the phone and dials a number. It is the number on the computer, the URC headquarters. Chapter 4. After two rings, the same man answers the call. His voice is as cold as before. Good morning, Professor. Is it morning? Never mind, I don't care. I've got the formula. It's in my hand. I know you have finished, Professor. I have been watching you. You had a really hard time. Sleeping on the floor isn't very comfortable, is it? I said I don't care. Let my daughter go. I've done what you asked. Maybe I need to test it first. How? While you were sleeping, my friends came to your lab and copied the formula. How dare you? Please, Professor, we are working together on this. I work alone. You steal. Don't worry. Nothing happened to the formula. I have prepared a sample of the gas. It is on your desk. Just look to your right. Yes, that's it. Where is your camera? I'm going to smash it into pieces. Please, sir, you are too tired to think correctly. Spare your nice words. Where are you going to test it? Your test group is ready and waiting for you. Innocent people? Not exactly. There is a car waiting for you outside, a black limousine. The professor puts on his trench coat and leaves the office with the gas sample in a black briefcase. He takes the elevator. He can see himself in the mirror of the elevator. He looks extremely tired. He doesn't smell nice. He needs a shower and a good sleep. His neck and his shoulders are sore because of the big stress he is in. When the elevator reaches the ground floor, he leaves it hastily. There are few people at the entrance of the building. One of them is a security guard. The professor has known him for years. Good day, Professor. Good day, Henry. I'm sorry, but I'm not in the mood for a bit of a chat today.
I know, Professor, you have worked very hard for the last 3 days. Are you one of them? Did you let them in my office? Was it you? Wow, Professor. Stop there, please. I am just a security guard. I follow orders. I wait here during the day and watch out for danger. Save your words. I know it was you. Professor Feller pushes the security guard aside and rushes to the doors. He leaves the building and sees a black limousine parked across the street. He crosses the street without looking to his left or right. Cars have to stop with loud noises while he is crossing the street. Seconds later, he is standing in front of the vehicle. The chauffeur gets out and walks over to him. He opens the door of the limousine respectfully and Filler gets in. There is a young woman in a nice grey suit sitting opposite him. She offers him her hand. I'm Susan Moyer. I'm your research assistant on this project. I work alone. Didn't your boss tell you this? You know so much about me. Why don't you let me work alone? Not this time. The limousine drives off. They do not speak for a while. The professor watches the woman angrily. He hates the idea of working together with her. She is so young and she works for the URC. The URC is his enemy right now. They have got his daughter. Susan offers the professor a drink. He refuses first, but then takes it. After 2 zips, he feels dizzy and falls asleep. Chapter 5. When Feller wakes up, he is on a big terrace. He is sitting on a bamboo chair, and Susan Mayer is sitting opposite him again. His head is killing him. He has a terrible headache. What was in that drink? A sedative. Nothing important. Well, you have no headache. My head is killing me. Who are you people? How did you find me? You are the best professor. Success comes with advantages and disadvantages. Now I can see the disadvantage. I'm sorry to hear that, Professor. You have the chance to save us all. How long have I slept? You have slept for nearly 6 hours. Do you feel better now? Define better. The headache gets worse. Here, take this tablet. It will help. I won't take anything from you. Not after this. Please, you must see the text. Trust me and take this medicine. All right. What worse can happen? I hate these headaches. Okay, we are ready for the test. Follow me, please. They stand up. Feller can see a big garden below them. There are people lying on the ground. He thinks they may be about 500 people. They have all got prisoners' uniforms on. The models and the colours of the uniforms are different. The prisoners have different nationalities too. Some are Asian, some are Afro-American, and the rest are people from other countries. Susan gives Feller a chart with names and dates on it. These are all prisoners with death sentences. None of these people are innocent. You can see their execution days on this chart. We have important connections in the government, Professor. We chose these prisoners for you. I think they are better than innocent people. That doesn't change anything now. I do this for my daughter only. A lot of people will die if this experiment works. We have given them a kind of tranquilizer. They won't feel anything. When Feller tells Susan that he is ready, she gives him a gas mask. They put the gas masks on. Some other men with gas masks spray a green gas on the prisoners in the garden. Then they start to watch.
Seconds after they breathe in the gas, the bodies of the prisoners start to shake. First, their skin color changes. Then, roots start to grow out of their feet. The tiny roots grow very fast. They find their way into the earth. Chapter 6. When the roots are in the earth, the sleeping bodies of the prisoners stand up. They stand motionless in the garden. Next, something very interesting starts to happen. All of the prisoners raise their arms to the sky. Their arms form a V-shape. Then their bodies start shaking more and more, and finally the people start changing to trees. Fella and Susan are fascinated by the view. Everything is happening very fast. Fella sees the stairs which go down to the garden. He walks down the stairs and runs to one of the changing bodies. Susan follows him down. She is right behind him. Awesome! You did it, Professor! This is really awesome! Maybe for you, Susan. I think it's barbaric when you use science correctly. Nothing is impossible. Where is my daughter? You will get a message after you return to your office. Your answer will be in the message. There may be one thing with the formula. What? It is working. Look around you. These were all humans just like us. But now we are in a big forest. I have to check something. Changing the outside was the easy part, Susan. What do you mean? I'm not sure their souls have changed. How can you be sure, Professor? Bring me a stethoscope. Just that. You want easy things. Susan walks back to the house. She goes up the stairs and inside the building. While she is gone, Fella walks among the newly made trees. He touches them. The trunks of the trees are not as hard as the trunk of an ordinary tree. They are as soft as the skin of a human. Fella does not like this. The prisoners have changed to trees, but something is wrong. He hopes that the people fell asleep properly before the change. A few minutes later, Susan comes back. She has got a stethoscope in her hands. She gives it to the professor. He takes the stethoscope and walks over to one of the new trees. He puts the sensor on the body of the tree. His face changes. What is it, Professor? What's wrong? Come and listen yourself. Susan takes the stethoscope from him. She copies the professor and starts listening to the body of the tree. Susan's expression on her face changes too. She goes to another tree and then to another tree and listens again and again. This is terrible, Professor. The people are still alive in these trees. Not for long. Listen carefully, Susan. Susan continues listening. The terror on her face increases. They cannot breathe. They are dying. Yes, they are. What happens when they die? The trees die. Then we won't have trees. No, we won't. The professor is worried. He thought he was successful, but he was not. All the people in the garden are suffering badly because of his mistake. Susan takes out her phone and phones her boss. She tells him about the result. She looks at the professor with a worried impression on her face while she is listening to her boss. He wants to speak to you, Professor. Yes? What is it? I see you made a mistake, Professor. Yes, a very big one. These people are in great pain. They are dying because of me. They are bad people. You are bad, and I am bad too. No, we aren't, Professor. Today is their execution day. We did this for our future.
I don't know. What will happen to my daughter now? What do you think, Professor? You were unsuccessful. Please don't hurt her. I'll do anything you want.
Listen, Professor, I'm not the bad guy here. I will send your daughter home. But you have to change the formula. I hope you won't be unsuccessful again.
Me too.
When will she be back?
Be patient.
After this conversation, a nurse gives a special drug to the professor. He falls asleep again and wakes up in his flat. He has to go back to his office and wait for the message. He has got a plan, and he must study on it in his lab. It is late at night, and he will be alone in the building. When he enters the building, he cannot see Henry, the security guard. Instead, there is a stranger with a security uniform waiting at the doors.
Where is Henry?
He has retired.
Do you think I believe you?
You are from URC, aren't you?
Please, Professor.
We are here to protect you. You can go to your lab.
I don't need your protection. Do you understand?
Tell this to your boss.
I will, sir. If you need anything, call me.
I won't. Rufus Feller enters his lab. He directly walks over to the computer. Rufus works all night in his lab. URC cameras watch him secretly. He can feel it. He doesn't panic because he works on the triple project with their computer. After the big mistake, he cannot risk other people's lives. The URC has found him and they know he is the best in DNA studies. But they do not know how intelligent he is. He can think about his secret plan while he is working on the project. He is a genius. He does not need to write everything. His plan will be ready in the morning. He hopes he doesn't make any mistakes. A single mistake can ruin everything, and it will be too late to fix it. He wants his daughter back. This is the only important thing now. He works all night without sleeping. Towards morning, he finds his mistake. Chapter 7. I was so stupid. But this time, nothing will go wrong. He says this while he is walking up and down in his lab. He continues speaking loudly.
Call me. Do you hear me?
30 seconds later, his phone rings. He picks it up. Actually, I had thrown this phone on the wall.
Yes, Professor.
When did you repair it?
We didn't repair it. We changed it. When you were sleeping on the floor yesterday morning.
Never mind. Listen, I have the formula, but this time I will produce the gas.
We can do it, Professor.
You don't need to be there.
No, listen to me carefully. About 500 people died very painfully yesterday.
Bad people, Professor. They were all bad.
I don't care. They were human.
This time, there will be no mistakes. And test it on few people.
Well, if you say so, what do you need?
Nothing. My lab has everything.
All right.
Call me when you finish.
The professor starts working immediately. He mixes all the required chemicals carefully and prepares the new triple gas in a few hours. He hopes that things would not go wrong this time. When he has everything ready, he calls the URC back.
You can come and take the sample tube. I am sure it will work this time.
I hope so too.
Put it inside the black briefcase and give it to Henry.
Henry? He is not working here anymore.
Oh, he is. But not as a security guard.
Open the door.
The professor opens the lab door. He sees Henry standing at the door. He is not wearing a uniform, but he is wearing a black suit. He has got a pair of black sunglasses on. When he meets the professor, he takes off his glasses and smiles at him.
Can I have the briefcase, sir?
Here you are. If you like, I can try it on you, Henry. You're a big guy. I think you will become an excellent tree. Triple Henry. How does it sound?
Not funny, Professor. I think you are very bad at joking.
I'm not joking, Henry. You deserve this. You and all the people at URC.
We are not...
I know. You are not a bad person. The professor closes the door. After standing 2 minutes at the door, he walks over to his desk and sits down. It is time to wait for the results. At exactly 6 o'clock, a young boy brings the professor an envelope. He opens it very quickly and starts reading. The experiment was very successful. The triple produced huge amounts of oxygen. It is 5 times more than natural trees. Here are the instructions for the big day. You must finish the preparations by Monday. There will be a limousine waiting for you at 6 o'clock in the morning. Susan will be in the limousine. You will give her the computer and the formula. After Susan gets the formula, we will give you your daughter back. We will deliver the formula to our men all around the world. This will take 3 days. On Thursday at exactly 8 a.m. in the morning, we will start gassing the world. You and your daughter will wear special gas masks. Congratulations on your work. If you have any questions, you can ask them to Susan on Monday. This is his time now. He has gained their trust. Now he is going to prepare the real gas. The URC will not see the difference until after Monday. They will not test again, so they will not know about his plan. He is going to change the amount of 2 chemicals and the result will change. He will have his daughter and the world will have enough oxygen. Everything goes according to the plan. It is Monday and Fella is going to meet his daughter. He is in the limousine and he is very excited. When he sees his daughter coming towards him, he starts crying quietly. They hug for some time. She looks healthy, but she is still in shock. She still doesn't understand. Why did they take her? How did her father free her? She asks him a lot of questions. Chapter 8. What is it, Dad? You are hiding something from me. Be patient, Olivia. Who are these people? I will tell you everything. Be patient, please. When they are back at home, Rufus Fella takes his daughter to his bathroom. He turns on the water in the bathroom and closes the door. Olivia, you look so tired. Please have a bath first, then sleep for a while. It will help. I don't know, Dad. I don't think I can sleep. The professor turns the water more on. It is very loud inside the bathroom. Then he whispers in his daughter's ear. They wanted me to do something. I did it to save you. They are planning to change people into trees. They will kill millions. I agreed first, but later I made my own plans. Olivia cannot believe her ears. Her father made a dangerous gas to save her. But she knows that he is not bad. She believes him. She is happy to be free, and she hopes her father can save the other people too. But she does not know about her father's secret plan. She does not want to ask either because she is afraid of his answer. She has never seen him speaking so thoughtfully. She hopes they will be safe when everything is over. It is Wednesday. Her father looks more excited. He does not speak much at home. He just sits on his armchair and thinks. She does not ask him much either because she knows about the cameras in the house. Olivia, this is our last night. Tomorrow everything will change. Let's have a walk for the last time. Yes, father, I would love to walk with you. They leave the flat for the first time in 3 days. Fella knows URC can't listen to him outside. He is going to tell Olivia about his plan. When the professor steps outside, he sees Henry. He is waiting at the door of the apartment. But something is wrong with Henry. First of all, he is wearing a grey suit and he has an interesting expression on his face. Is everything all right, Henry? Yes, sir. Everything goes to plan. Why don't you walk with us? Dad, this is the security guard at your lab, isn't it? No, he isn't. No, I'm not. I was working for the URC. You were or are? Well, Miss Feller, your father told me about the terrible plan, and I stopped working for that horrible company. Why are you here? Because I'm helping your father. They don't know that. I see. Come, Olivia, I will tell you everything. After the professor changed the code of the gas, he has secretly contacted an old friend at the CIA and has given him all the information about URC and the Project Triple. Henry helped him with the new plan. The professor does not tell her everything, so Olivia won't worry even more about them. Chapter 9. At 8 o'clock on Thursday morning, Professor Feller and his daughter do not put on their gas masks. The professor takes his daughter outside. He puts his arm on her shoulder and looks at the sky. They start hearing sirens after some minutes everywhere. A green cloud covers the sky. Olivia looks at her father. He is crying. She watches the green cloud coming down on the ground. When the green gas touches the earth, small trees start growing from the ground very fast. 10 minutes later, there are trees all around them. Professor Feller is laughing now. It worked! My new formula worked successfully, Olivia. The world will have a lot of oxygen now. But what about the UCR? Aren't they dangerous? No, not anymore, my little girl. How? Professor Feller starts walking down the street with Olivia next to him. While he is walking, he tells his daughter about the new formula and his plan. The UCR gave me a small computer. There was a lot of research information in it. I read every study very carefully. Some scientists tried to change the human DNA before I did. They were not very successful. There were some very simple mistakes in their formulae. So I just fixed the mistakes and I finished a new gene formula. I did not write the formula on paper for the experiment. I am so sorry for these prisoners. They died while helping the world. When I saw the result of the experiment, I was very excited. 1. I changed human DNA to plant DNA. 2. I had a better plan than the UCR. In my plan, people did not need to die. I planned to grow new trees from the roots of old ones. So I changed my formula again and gave the new formula to UCR. I thought they wouldn't understand. I was right. My friend at the CIA contacted me secretly last night. Remember our walk outside? There was an old man lying on a bench in the park. He gave me a secret note. Here it is. Did the CIA catch UCR? I think so. We should watch the news. Maybe we won't need to. Look. A car stops next to Professor Feller and his daughter. A man with a police radio in his left hand gets out. He walks to Professor Feller. Good morning, Rufus. There is a lady in my car. I think you know her. The professor looks inside the car. He sees Susan sitting angrily at the back seat of the car. Her hands are handcuffed. I'm sorry, Susan. You lied to us. Well, yes. I lied to your company, but I saved the world. This isn't over yet. Oh, believe me, Susan, everything is over. No. Look over there. That is my daughter, Olivia. She is free now. But you are not. And I think you won't be for a very long time. This isn't over. I will get revenge from you for what you did. Sorry, Susan, but I don't care. See you.